Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This is my third part of the interview with Cliff High. I replayed part of second part of the interview so you get context as to what we're talking about. It's only a couple minutes. It was replayed. And then this is the rest. This finishes off the interview that I did. I want to tell you, if you haven't heard the first two parts, you can go to my website at sarahwestall.com and you can get all the episodes there. This is proving to probably be the most popular show that I've done. In little over a week, it's already over 120,000 just on part one. Get up all the parts, the views are over 200,000. And part one is still getting a lot of views each hour. So not sure where it's going to end up. If you're liking all these shows that I'm doing, please consider supporting the show on Patreon under Sarah Westall. Go there. And I am, once I get to 100 patrons, I'm going to start doing exclusive content just for them. So when I bring on really high-profile guests, they will have maybe some questions that they have that we can ask and just post it up there for them, different things like that. I'll be posting different things as well, just exclusively for them. But I need to have enough to warrant doing it and to make a little bit of money. I really appreciate when people give because it helps support the show, pay the costs of the show. This isn't a huge money-making adventure. YouTube has cut what people make when shows, you know, my show on YouTube is going crazy and it's unbelievable how little you make for how many views that you get. And they changed all those dynamics. You know, once a company becomes a monopoly, they change what they're paying, which is really too bad. They got everybody using it because they're paying well. And now that everybody's using it, they can change what they're doing. I don't know if that's the complete dynamic, but it sure feels that way, and it's too bad. I really hope that there's more competition in this market so that people can make more money for creating content, because I just don't think it's right to do that to people. But let's get into my part three with Cliff High.
And they did it because they screwed up, okay? The Nummo created four breeding pair of beings. Now, bear in mind, the Nummo are basically female. The whole species is female, but then they become, within themselves, become male at the time they need to fertilize. They're mammalian-like, but not really mammals. They do have live birth, so they're oviparous, or viviparous, and they do have some other characteristics they share, but they don't have mammalian glands, and they don't have internal organs the same way we do. But they created us, the original four breeding pair, according to the story, were created as in their image, and these beings were, we'll have to use a word that's inappropriate, but I'll use it anyway, and they're hermaphrodite, okay? So they could be either sex as they chose. And two of these beings fell in love with each other and procreated when they were both male. And this was something that the Nummo said shouldn't do. And it drove one of them crazy. And this crazy one got into one of the Nummo's spaceship. Now, the Nummo are interesting because they actually can go through interstellar space like a sun. And they do it with a thing called a liquid copper engine, where they would literally have a liquid copper out in front of their ship that with this device that pulled them through interstellar space. And so they looked like a sun or a comet as they were flying around. Anyway, one of these ships took off. The being didn't get very far, and he brought it down, and it crashed on the Earth, and it polluted Earth for who knows how long in a deadly, deadly way with this liquid copper stuff. Killed most of the life on the planet. And then Nummo felt very bad about it, and so they went away, brought back stuff to cleanse the earth, and they did this cleansing in a great inundation, the greatest flood that had ever been seen. And so these flood myths come down from the Nummo cleansing the earth. They basically came down and covered the whole planet with some kind of a chemical to some level of depth and expunged the stuff they'd done. And then they set about rebuilding life on the planet because they had screwed it up. You know, it was their fault. They had to fix it. And in the process of fixing it, they ended up creating all of us. Now, in the Dogon myth of all of this, they talk about why this occurred, okay? So they have a greater depth of it. The Salish up here don't go into the why, but they have that same myth about the man who changed everything and how the very first thing that he did was to create Raven, and Raven was allowed to walk along and see all the other stuff that was going on. And so Raven is our expositor in these tales of the Changer, and that's what Raven called the Nummo, as the Changer. And the Changer was aquatic. And said about, Raven was the first land creature, but the Changer created salmon, whale, and all of these others, and, you know, the water mammals and the near mammals, and then did the same on land. And so the myth is the same back and forth, although those Salish don't go into why, but they knew it was from a debt, that there was a debt involved. And so it's really an interesting tale about how we ended up where we are. And we see it replicated even in Göbekli Tepe in the constructions there that they uncovered. All of those statues are all about a genetic manipulation that ends up creating humans, you know, horses and pigs and cats and dogs and all of these kind of things as well.
So phenomenal as we come to understand what is actually being said there. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's a story.
It's a book. Yeah, yeah. So it's fascinating. And so that's basically the creation myth insofar as the Dogon have. And I think it's probably the closest thing we've got to an understanding of what actually occurred. Now, maybe the deep state and the, you know, the people that they're fronting for, maybe they know more than we do. And maybe there's more in Antarctica to discover. And maybe, a greater representation, more depth, etc. And I certainly hope so. That would be really cool. But that we're getting into Antarctica and at this level tells me we're going to be busting out pretty soon, right? Because I know I've run into some physical therapists and I've run into some welders, right? You get these guys a few drinks in them, they're going to be blabbing like mad. You know, exactly. Hey, look what I saw down there. They had me weld up this cage for this bastard or something, you know?
Exactly. That's what I'm waiting for is that if they have that many people there, it's going to start coming.
Right. And you know how gossipy massage therapists are. They've just got to talk to you because they've got nothing else going all day.
So how does the Dogon theory relate to the, Zachariah Sitchin and what he found?
Sitchin's full of shit. Okay. I'm sorry. He was a Mason. All of the documents that Sitchin supposedly translated, mm-hmm. we now have translated. They're available from someplace in Chicago. I think it's University of Illinois in Chicago. All of Sanskrit, it's translated. You can get at it on online. You can see the original work. You can see the transliteration, and you can see the translation. And nowhere did Sitchin ever say it was on this tablet at this section that this word appeared. He never did any of that. And so if you were to take all of Sitchin's writings, you cannot in any of those tablets, in any way you can structure that language, can you find what he wrote about. So he was writing about some weird story that he was told to write about that does not relate to the underlying data. And they pinned it on the cuneiform saying, oh, it's in here. And if you could only read this, it would say this to you.
So was he purposely trying to get people off topic?
Off of something, aiming them something, wanted to create the whole Nibiru thing, Planet X, all of that stuff is all bogus. And it's all a misinterpretation anyway.
Well, and that's what Wallace Thornhill said too. Well, he did say that stars can come through our solar system. He thinks that's actually how our moon was created and Saturn used to be our sun. And there's all this evidence to that. But it's the whole Nibiru stuff is a different deal.
And in an electric universe, if in fact there was a Planet X, if it were to approach us even as far back as, say, where Pluto is, we would have giant amounts of lightning that would be from our sun all the way out to it and back. So we would be watching it. We would be seeing it. This was recorded when Venus was captured, okay? We were going along as a solar system and we snagged Venus. Venus's orbit is the same as its year, and it revolves exactly the opposite of all the other planets in our system. And we snagged it, and it just is coming along. But when that occurred, the Mesoamericans wrote about the interplanetary lightning, that they could see blue and green lightning that would go from the sun to this new planet that was coming in, and everything got wonky. There were giant earthquakes. It wasn't a good time to be on the planet, and then it eventually all calmed down.
Well, and that's what's so amazing about what they're coming up with is because it's all, but just like what you're talking with the Dogons, it's backed by myths that are the same everywhere, all over the world.
And I've been into some of these places where, you know, I've been in Germany and I had a friend, I'm not into caves, but I had this friend that was a caver. And so he took me in there and there was all these weird carvings of basically people with webbing between their fingers.
That's so interesting.
And, you know, mermaids and stuff on the
How
side of cave walls. No way of knowing. It was in the Black Forest. So it's deep in Bavaria, nowhere near an aquatic site. So why are you making paintings of aquatic beings in there? And it was it was not charcoal. It was dark. And so it might have been blood for all I know, but it was old. And we were kids. We didn't know what we were doing.
Sure.
We just, you know, and he knew of them. And we told some people. And then I never went back. I don't know if they ever sealed them up or not. But we've got those same kind of caves over here in Washington State and several places east of the mountains. And you see the petroglyphs in Hawaii. Okay. I mean, you've got some tourists out there that are chiseling around and, you know, making strange things on the rocks. But in Hawaii, they also have all of the petroglyphs of all of the astronomical problems and their representation of the Namo. And we see these aquatic beings all over, you know?
It's so amazing. This stuff is so fascinating for me. I can't get enough of it. Are you seeing any anti-aging stuff yet in your data sets?
Yeah, actually. And I can tell you about some of it, okay? Because I'm involved in some of it myself, all right? This needs to be its own book and get into it in a serious way to let people know.
I am writing a book about it, by the way.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, this is cool. Then here's some serious material for you, all right? Not from the Antarctica side of it, not from the data sets and not from the energy kind of things that it's talking about, but rather from a practical approach. Okay, so a few years back, we discovered this new industrial material, and it showed promise in a number of different ways, and it's a very unique industrial material. And we wanted to use this industrial material in a number of different applications. And we needed to make this. And so it was decided at an international level that we had to do certain things in order for this industrial material to be widely used in our industry. And one of the things we had to do was to determine, is it unsafe? And so the EU, actually I think it was the UN at that time, or the science agency of the UN, decided they needed to know what the LD, the lethal dosage of this stuff was. And so they let a contract with a French lab, and the head of the French lab is a Frenchman of an Algerian descent. I bring that up because of it. It forms the basis of how he does things. Each culture puts an imprintation of how you. So science done by Hindus is different than science done by Algerians. They just take different approaches, just like software would be different. Anyway, so the Algerian scientist decides because it's a contract. That what he's going to do is a small sample study and high doses until he kills his rats, basically, and we figure out what the lethal dosage is. And so he takes 12 rats, six females, six males, separates them out into two groups of six, three males, three females. One group's the control. They go over there and they live and they just eat corn and drink water and stuff. The other ones get this industrial substance. Now, the goal of the study was to see if we could take this industrial substance in a natural fashion and have it be lethal to us as opposed to injecting it. So they did not initially inject it into the flesh or anything. And so they give this industrial substance to these rats. And they decided that the way to do it was to get the rats to eat it, so they dissolved it in olive oil. That turned out to be a hell of a task for them to do that alone. And they ended up doing this. And this industrial substance is given to these rats on a pretty massive dose once a week for a couple of weeks because the Frenchman wanted to collect his money on finding out what the lethal dose was. He didn't want to waste years incrementally getting up there, right? And so that's why the Algerian aspect, the practicality of it, enters into it because he determined the dose based on he guessed that this amount would kill him pretty quick. Well, it didn't kill him. And it didn't kill him. And they were stuck at that dosage level because that's what they decided to go for. And they decided, okay, they'll use this dosage level, keep it up on a weekly basis, and continue it over time. And it'll accumulate in the rats, and it'll kill them. Then they can slice up in the rats and find out where they died, establish the lethal dose, and they're done. Well, time passes. All the control rats die. All the control rats had a two-year lifespan, like, or less, okay?
Think of their thoughts while they're doing this because they're wanting to earn some money, and they're like, oh, crap. But anyways, this is amazing what's going on. Okay.
Okay, so, and this you can find out. I'll tell you the substance, and you can go look it up, and you can validate everything I'm telling you. Okay, so they give the rats these dosages, and it doesn't kill them. And so some time passes, and you can look it up as to the amount of time. And then so they finally, the Frenchman says, well, you know, these rats aren't dying of this. I've got this other contract to see what this lethal dose of radiation is. And so let's take a couple of these rats and zap them with this radiation, and we'll see what the lethal dose is, and we'll be done with them, and then we'll also be able to cut them open and see what's going on with this industrial substance we're feeding them. Well, radiation didn't kill them.
Okay.
And it was way, and the radiation was well over lethal dose, well over lethal dose. Rats just sitting there laughing it off. They're happy. They're, bear in mind at this point, all of the rats have lived at least one third again as long as they should have. They were all into their third year, and all these rats are genetically programmed to die around 2 years. And so the rats are going along. The rats have good fur. They look young. There's no problems with them. And finally, they start getting frustrated and they start euthanizing the rats. And because they tried cancer-causing chemicals to kill them off, they
nothing
tried...
Nothing would kill them. Now they become immortal almost. Okay.
Well, they become really hardy. All right. And so finally, they ended up killing them. And they killed these rats at very advanced ages for these rats, far beyond what they should have lived. And when they open them up, their brains are clean, their lungs are clean, their livers are gorgeous, their spleens are beautiful. They've got no problems whatsoever in spite of all the radiation and all the cancer-causing chemicals they've been fed to try and off them and see what was going on. And so whatever this substance is, it works on their system in such a way that it preserved their internal organs at a level that was youthful. Okay, in spite of the fact that the rats were aging, but the rats were not aging as normal. The amount of wear and tear they were showing was minimal. There was no hair discoloration, none of the skin issues, none of the systemic degradation that usually accompanies old age. And basically, they had no idea when these rats would die if they just kept feeding them this regular diet of this substance dissolved in olive oil. So they do this, and over the course of time, I think maybe the last rat was killed 3 times, and you'll have to look it up. I don't remember exactly, but I think it was killed at 6 years. So it was 3 times as old as the rat should have lived, and they just killed it because they had to know, and they had to end the study, and the guy had to get paid. And so they could not determine a lethal dose that way. So another group was commissioned to determine a lethal dose. These guys didn't mess around. They took some mice, and they injected the substance in a water base directly into the mice at the level of 1/10 of their body weight. And that killed them. Okay. And it was an injection. It was intramuscular, but it killed them. And so they knew that if you had 1/10 of your body weight of this material injected in you, that was at least a lethal dose.
Well, but then they had to go down, right? They can't say,
They didn't monkey about with it. No, they didn't.
They just said, you can get killed with this, but we know that 10% will kill you.
And it's got to be injected, and then it later on shuts down all your other systems. And they really couldn't say why it killed them. And then one of the doctors that was involved in the study said, well, if you just took the substance out of the water, just that much water being injected
exactly.
Into your body is going to kill you.
That's what I say. Almost anything at that amount would kill you.
Right, right. So anyway, though, so this is where we're at on that. And at this stage, this is not a substance for human consumption. Okay. Humans eat this substance constantly. I'll tell you in a second. We've been seeking this substance for as long as humans have been around. It forms the basis of alchemy. Alchemy was seeking this substance, which was the, you know, the philosopher's stone, the perpetual life, all of this kind of stuff. They've been seeking it all of these different ways. The Taoists have been seeking it with the, and the yogis are seeking it with boiling down mercury and all of this kind of stuff. The substance occurs naturally in the planet. It's concentrated in the planet in various different areas. We have only become recently aware of it. The substance is called C60, carbon-60, Buckminster Fullerenes, okay, buckyballs. And so buckyballs, these complex, so a carbon atom, we have many different, carbon is an interesting stuff because it has many different forms. Most, like gold, only has one form in nature. Carbon, we have carbon-12, carbon-14, carbon-16, carbon-18, et cetera, et cetera. Carbon-60 is unique because it takes the carbon atom and folds it back on itself so that all of the receptors from the carbon atom for connecting to other atoms are fully involved with their own molecule, if you will. under those circumstances, there's no like a carbonic attachment to your to anything. So if you had a free carbon atom, it's kind of like a not as reactive as an oxygen atom, but it'll glom onto you, so to speak, right? Because it's got a highly energetic particle that wants to stick to something. But this form of carbon does not have that. They don't know why it does what it does, but they do know that it does do that. Now, humans can get hold of this stuff. You can buy it. It's a readily available carbon 60, C60 is readily available from Europe in a purified form. You can mix it into anything you want and consume it. It occurs naturally in coal. It occurs naturally in this stuff called shungite. It occurs naturally in this other stuff called shealogite or asphaltum. So it's been known about since the time of ancient Rome. It goes all the way back into the yogic world, maybe 6,000 or 7,000 years. It was a necessary part of their revitalization programs that people would undertake. And that was really gruesome if you get into the yogic perspective of how they did it. But the goal all of the time and all of these various different mechanisms or schools was to concentrate this stuff. They didn't know it was C60. They just knew that animals that drank water from this particular water hole lived longer, looked better, didn't age as much, and so on. Turns out that water hole was in a base of shungite material, which is this like a primal material of the earth. Huge levels of C60 in it. Or maybe it was in the Himalayan mountains, they would see goats, and they would even see animals from the deep forests work their way all the way up into the mountains to go and lick this black goo that was coming out from underneath these glaciers. And basically, that was all of the material that had been smooshed by the glacier into a very thin layer, all the biological material, and it concentrated the C60. And so that's been their form of it, coming in these various different ways. Now we know it exists. Now we know what the molecule is. And now we can purify it out of coal and all these other things. And now it's still an industrial product, but you can actually buy it. You could even consume it if you wanted and get its effects.
Mice, I don't know if rats, but mice don't have telomeres. They die from free radical damage in a speedy way. And so rats are the same. So I would imagine that it really takes care of your radical, you know, your free radicals and all the things that attack our cells.
And that's how it's sold as an antioxidant. Correct. But it does much more than that. Okay. It does interact with the telomeres.
Lengthen the telomeres? Because the lengthening of the telomeres is, you know, that's what they're finding. And but that's not the only thing that kills us. You know, the free radicals and this other stuff kills us too, but go ahead.
But that alone, I mean, that is basically the that's your clock. Okay. I mean, you start off with X number of them, and you know, like the yogis say, you know, you're given X number of breaths, and when you exhale that last breath, near or far in time, that's the end of your life. And so maybe the thing to do is to breathe slow, you know, that kind of thing, right?
But your cells can only duplicate so many times, and each time it duplicates, your telomere gets shorter. Well, right. Bill Andrews, you know, the one that actually found human telomeres, he's been working on it. And I have multiple interviews with him. Just amazing. He came out on my show and talked about how they found the solution. They have it. It's just really expensive. And so they're trying to find just for lengthening telomeres. Now, he says, now that's not the only thing he thinks. Although if your telomeres are longer and your cells are younger, now they can deal.
Can't hurt.
Well, can your cells deal with the free radical issue? Younger cells can deal with getting rid of free radical damage and all sorts of other things. So they don't know yet until you actually do it. But they are doing a trial with Madagascar, these little lemurs, because they're little primates that are tiny. And they have over 1,500 people signed up for the first trials that are happening in the East. But there's like over $2 million. So it's really expensive. It's not a solution yet for the average person.
Well, also, it leaves us a lot of the stuff, as he notes, it leaves a lot of the stuff unaddressed. And here's where C60 is interesting.
Exactly. That's what Abhi Jaggeri is looking into. And this is awesome.
Okay. So on top of that, so let's look at C60 and some of its other ancillary effects. Not only does it mess about with the length of the cell degradation reproduction issue, right? The more you reproduce the cell, the sloppier the copies become.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, it deals with that. It also deals with the antioxidant issue, the free radical issue, instantly, because the nature of the buckyball is such that the free radicals want to adhere to it and it's excreted. So it pulls these things right out of you. Also, the C60 molecule can cross the blood-brain barrier. So it's pulling out toxins all throughout your entire system. Also, as a side effect, and I'm in contact with a great number of these humans through some French people I know. For a large number. I can reach out to maybe 150 people that are self experimenting with this material. Okay, and that have had some number of years self-experimenting with this material.
And it's working?
Well, it's working in that it's providing positive benefits to them. Whether or not it's going to increase their age, we don't know. Okay, because they haven't gone to an exceptional lifespan yet, mm-hmm. because it has been so. If you go on in and read about the Frenchmen and the trial with the rats and stuff, that's only a few years back.
Oh, okay.
So we've only known about this for a few years. I don't even think we've crossed 20 years yet.
Any of them older? Where they?
Yes, yes. And so we have people that are in their 80s.
And so they don't have wrinkles and all sorts of other things?
It's not instant, okay? It takes a while. So it is a reverse aging, not an anti-aging. So slowly, it cleans up the free radical damage, and thus your skin, the next time those cells reproduce, don't recreate that wrinkle, okay? It removes these issues. It affects the internal organs. It creates new veins. And hyperoxygenates your body, and it hyperoxygenates you down to the level of the mitochondria within the cells, but without the free radical damage. So it's not only hyperoxygenating you, it's doing so without the expected damage of all the oxygen.
Can you get it? The form that you're talking about that you could buy it, is that the form you need, or do you need it in a different form for the work
you're talking about? You can go right now to I shouldn't say it because the guy probably, you don't know what they have to go through to create this stuff, okay?
Well, I'm going to buy some for my parents because they're getting close to 80, so they're taking something.
All right. So, you've got to understand this, okay? You've got to be very careful about this because this process is not gentle, all right? So anybody that takes this stuff, you will go through detox. Now, you could take little tiny bits and build up over time so that the detox was low level and continuous for months.
Could they detox on a different kind of detox substance first, maybe? Or
no, 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 no. I no, because I
that those aren't even close.
Those are not close, right?
We
get different reports of different effects. Okay, so I know of one person who had
them? Could the detox be
no.
so strong? Okay.
No, no, no. It'll make them extremely uncomfortable. People that are extremely weak, a woman that I know of that has had surgeries for brain cancer, has had 3 or 4 surgeries for her heart, has had 5 or 6 death experiences where her heart has stopped. She's taking it with very good results in spite of the detox. Okay. The detox is mainly gastrointestinal.
Sure. It's awful. I've had pretty hard detoxes before and I feel like crap.
Well, okay. Let's be real clear about this. This is a little bit more than that. Okay. This is not simply
a purge. Especially for 2 people that are older who don't really detox.
Right. And so you may need to really think about this. You have to be an adult with this substance, and it is not approved by anybody for human consumption. Okay. It is an industrial material, and people will sell this to you as an industrial material in an oil base. And what you do with it is your business. Now, here's some things to be advised. Originally, they did it with olive oil. The C60, in my opinion, this is where we're going to get into some of my opinion parts here. C60 works by being combinoric or magnifying other things. So if you're taking a drug of some kind, it may magnify that, or it may magnify your body such that the drug is no longer effective. And we've seen both of these being reported by people that were in that circumstances. So C60 is not particularly gentle. It's not really harsh. You're not going to be vomiting or anything like that for days or anything like that. But because it's combinoric, I don't favor putting it in with olive oil because olive oil has its own impacts towards detoxing the gut, and I don't think they're necessarily beneficial for most humans. So the guy I favor, the fellow that I favor, he makes it and he puts it in avocado oil or coconut, okay? And in both cases, they're going to be a lot more gentle on you simply because they are not, the coconut less so, but they're not themselves detoxing agents the way olive oil is. So if you take, say the recommended dosage was a tablespoon a day, if you take a tablespoon a day of straight olive oil, you'll feel it in your liver, and even without the C60 involved. So you just have to be very cognizant of this. It's not like it's a panacea. It's not like it's an anti-aging pill or any of that. It is as though you've got to be taking it for a long time because of the, if you're to obtain any anti-aging benefits. But in terms of lengthening your lifespan, okay? So without getting too far into it, there's a difference between lifespan and life space. What appears to occur here is that our life space is increased, and then if your body is up to it, you can have a longer lifespan within that life space. And that's really a way
you
to think
like
about...
You mean like your code is lengthened, your clock, I mean.
Correct. And so it restores all of those. It's harmonious to you once you're into the groove of it, and it might take some people a year, but other people may be only a month. I would not advise taking this if I were a young person. It's not going to do anything for you, until you're actually experiencing
you're not
some
gonna
of those
feel effects. It. Yeah.
Correct.
They have on the market now TAM 818. I believe it's a 16% effective, not like the 100% effective, but it's more affordable. And so I'm getting, it's not available in this country. It's available in the East, Japan, different places. And I'm going to have my parents start on that. But it's not a full, it's only 16%. It's going to make them feel a lot better, but it's not the full blown deal.
Well, now here's the good part of this. All right. If you were to go to Purple Power, it's called C60 Purple Power online. Okay, that's the guy who sells it in avocado oil and coconut oil.
What is that website again?
C60 Purple Power. Okay. It makes the oil purple colored.
Okay.
And, the poor fellow may not be able to keep up with it because it takes days. It takes days to get this stuff to dissolve.
We just gave you a lot of business.
right. And see, that could be a problem for him, So everybody needs to back off of his case if you order from him and let him make this stuff because he's got to gear up for it, right? And they have to do the little, electric spinners that spin in a vat of oil to dissolve the stuff
what
for days.
What
country
is he in?
He's in the U.S.
Okay.
He's selling an industrial lubricant. Okay. C60 in coconut oil or olive oil is sold as an industrial lubricant.
Okay.
So if you were to take the olive oil in this and or the coconut oil, you will feel better because you'll feel more energy because of the oil that's being provided is a good fat for your system. And because, in my opinion, the C60 is providing a comedogenic benefit that is helping to purge out your liver and your gut biome. But from the reported, this is why it needs to be in a book and you need to have all these cautions. It's better to take the C60 with dairy products than not if you're not lactose intolerant. It's better to take the C60 with raw milk kefir than commercial yogurt. So, and there's all these sort of things that you learn as you go along that make it easier on your system. Because bear in mind, say that you were 80 and that you wanted to get the benefit of this. If indeed this is going to double your lifespan, and there's no reason to suspect that you have to get it by a particular age in order to have that occur, then you're going to have to go through maybe 2 decades of a continual low level of detox in order to reach
because
that 160 years.
Because your cells have to keep until every cell and everything is changed around.
Correct. You're brilliant. You're absolutely brilliant. That's exactly what's going on. And it takes 7 years for your bones alone, right? So for 7 years, your bones are going to detox all the crap they've picked up. They're going to get rid of all the radiation, all of the pollution and all of this kind of stuff that gets into your bones that we can sample bones now and say that, oh, look, this guy was exposed to a nuclear radiation test at some point in his life and his bones show that, this sort of thing. So we do have those issues. So it's not like a pill. It's not. So you've got to be adult about it. You've got to know what you're doing. You've got to look at it as a decades-long process.
We're at the beginning of anti-aging.
Correct.
Just like any other field, we're starting to figure it out. But you're going to get gas and sit on the toilet a little bit. The computer takes up the whole room and it can only be a calculator or whatever. It's
correct.
Not. We just don't have. But man, it's starting. Because I've talked to enough people and I'm seeing enough stuff. And face it, if we can live to be 200 more years, 200, live to be 300, let's say, which, Liz Parrish, another one I interviewed, she goes, if you can live to be 1,000, why can't you live to be forever. You know, I mean, there's no reason why you die
no,
at an arbitrary age.
There actually is. There actually is.
Oh,
these
there
people
is?
Don't ever consider it relative to consciousness and memory.
Okay. Then when you start looking at more science from a different perspective.
Sure, from a different perspective. But
yes.
And from your body, they're correct. Yes.
Yeah. But now we keep talking about our world needing to be, we need to grow up in order for us to, this might be our chance to grow up. You know, maybe
give
we
us
do
the time
need
to mature.
Yeah, maybe we need those few hundred years to be a mature species. You know, we gotta figure out how to purge and not have some lunatic who's in charge for hundreds of years. But
well, yes, there's always that issue, right? But we've had that for some time. You know, there've been butt heads going all the way back.
But maybe that's what we need. We're children. Yeah. We just don't have enough time to grow up.
Well, you know, the yogis do have a, and the Chinese even do have this deal where man exits youth at the age of 80. And this is from their history, right? Now, here's some things to think about. In the world when it was young, shungite and asphaltum, the naturally occurring concentrated forms of this stuff, were more readily available in certain areas. And so, you know, we have the Caucasus Mountains as being an area with lots of 100-year-old people. Well, hey, there's shungite in the water up in there. And so they're drinking water with C60 in it. Water with C60 in it is not as good a way to get the C60 as is the oil, in my opinion, and is also demonstrated by the French. The French, okay, there may be a guy who may have been into this for some considerable time, and I won't betray anything about him. He's the old man in a particular subgroup of people that are self-experimenting with this stuff. And he's the more rational of all the people I've met with and talked about this sort of thing. And he's got a real good sense of it. And his sense is that the biology, that your point that we need that space to mature, that our biology has been really chopped down. And his thinking is that maybe a lot of the structure around history and all of that is to get us to believe in our own minds the limited view that they're projecting of humans in history. Right. And that if we had a different view of ourselves, all of a sudden things open up, and even ourselves just having different levels of thoughts going on about ourselves create a different environment for our physical body, our energetic body, etc. And this man, I mean, nobody knows how old he is or how long he's been doing this. But if you have a question about this stuff and I get a question to this guy, he's got a very definitive answer and he's never, ever steered me in any way other than exactly precisely to the correct point of it all. And so I trust his viewpoint at this stage. And so he's got a lot of things to say about it, you know. So for instance,
I love his information because then I can include it in the book.
I can give you the information. I don't know if he'll, I mean, we can ask questions. And I've got a lot of it coming to me, by the way, because I was going to write a book on my own on this just to get it out. Now that I know you're doing it, I won't bother, right?
Well,
now that
no,
you're
doing I mean, I, yeah, I mean, I'll show you the cover.
I've got enough stuff to do. Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of references here, a lot of research being done by Russians about this, because that's where shungite is really found anymore, is in Siberia and some of these places. And you can go online now to Amazon. If you wanted to take a low key approach to this, you could go buy shungite rocks. And they do this in Russia and they do it in Germany. When I got to Germany, I saw this going on all the time. And this was back in the days when they still had honey wagons collecting human waste to put on the fields. Okay. So it was before Germany was 100% really rebuilt into the modern age. And you would see some of the old farmers that we lived nearby. The women would every week they would take the black rocks out of the crock and wash the rocks off and put new water in there. And then they drank water out of that crock all week long. And it was shungite. And it restored them, made it healthy, and so on. Oh, that was something.
How did they know how to do that? It must have been passed down through.
Correct. Shaman and the alchemist have been working on this for a long time. We're a remnant civilization. They probably knew about this stuff way
before. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And so we have the records of it. And that's why the alchemists were trying to always rediscover. They were always looking for something that had been discovered in the past that was known. They could isolate it. I mean, they could describe what they were after. They just didn't know how to create it. And that's why all of the alchemy, all of our chemistry and everything was trying to recreate, and even the word alchemy, or from which we derive chemistry, right? And it's an Arabic word, al-chem, one point, Okay. And the thing is that that one point is, in fact, the whole thing they were after was C60, and they didn't know it. And so they're boiling down everything they could think of to try and create this deep black stuff that they knew that it came from. And they were isolated from it, right? They didn't have asphaltum. And once the Roman Empire fell apart, there were no longer trains bringing this stuff from the glaciers in India over to the Romans. And we have all kinds of anti-aging things in Egypt with the pharaohs. And it was not energetic, and it was all related to darkness and to blackness. And the one thing about C60 is it absorbs light. It's a weird molecule when you play around with it on its own. It seems to react to and cluster around lasers that are shot through the oil. So it seems to want to, so somehow the photonic energy seems to be drawing it.
Which rises in that energy that you need, maybe somehow. What's interesting is when you read the Bible or you read other, they talk about us living a long time.
Right.
There's just something more here, and we're on the edge, you know, where people are playing with it and people are seeing results.
And it's breaking out. Now, this I like.
And you're seeing it in your data sets.
I saw it some time back, and then I investigated it and have been doing research now on this for 5 or 6 years maybe, because it was just like the cryptocurrencies. Around 2005, I started seeing stuff in the data sets about what would become an anti-aging movement within the general part of humanity. Like everybody else, I assumed we had to liberate it from the ruling elites, but that's not the case. It's being brought up organically, so to speak, from grassroots out of the populations as a result of everybody wanting to use buckyballs for lubricants within industrial machines and needing to find out a lethal dose on it. Now, there are people out there that are replicating the rat studies. You've got other people that are doing studies on extracted chicken livers, keeping those alive with C60.
That is all different so kinds of stuff.
Now, let's get back to the appearance, though, okay? You're going to get more energy taking this stuff, and that's true. And so you may want to, for an older person, you may want to ease them into a little tiny bit so that they get the feeling of what the detox might be like. Your diet will adjust. Okay,
you'll find you can build up your
correct
dosage.
Correct. And then at some point you get into the thing, and you, as an old guy, and I'm 64, and you get up to the point where you would take some of this stuff, and the energy involved would be pretty good.
Are you taking it now?
Yeah, for 19 months.
And you feel different.
I was suffering from 30 plus years of a disease that would have killed me this year had I not gotten on top of it.
And now, is it gone?
Yeah, but not because of that. I found that after getting into trying to cure the disease part, right? Okay. I mean, I was racked by a liver disease, basically. Well, hey, one of the things you find if you look long enough is you'll find this connection between liver or hepatic protection and hepatic rebuilding, reconstitution, and C60. There's actually documents that you can get through the NIH now about C60 rebuilding liver tissue. And so once you start getting into that, if you've got a liver disease and you recognize you've got a liver disease, you start doing more investigation, and next thing you know, you're on this particular trail, right? And so you get more energy out of it. It has weird effects. You start talking to some of the individuals that are taking it, and one guy is complaining that he's got two eyebrow hairs that he has to cut every day at least an inch off of. Okay.
His eyebrow hair keeps growing.
and he can pluck them. He can pluck them out. And the one time and the reason he has two is that he had one, he plucked it out, and two grew. So he's not going to pluck it out again. But he says he cuts an inch off every day. Other people, it's toenails. They've got to trim their toenails every 2 days because of the exceptional growth. Other people, it's veins that are just new veins that are just growing all throughout your body as it's oxygenating and building and everything. And here's some of the other side effects. If you're taking this stuff and you were to be involved in an accident, or you have to go and get even a routine blood draw, the phlebotomist might freak out because they'll draw venal blood, but it'll look like arterial because it'll be so oxygenated and so red, they'll think they hit an artery. And this has actually occurred numerous times. I mean, it's become somewhat
freaking them out.
It does, and it's become a sort of a story. Oh, I had my phlebotomist encounter, is some what some of these people will say. Now, bear in mind, I lose a lot in translation because a lot of it is in French and sort of a patois of French and Russian and German, because these are the primary researchers in it and the primary self-researchers. The French seem to have been into it longer than anybody else except for the Russians. The Russians are somewhat closed-mouthed about their they come at it from the Shungite approach, as opposed to the industrial compound approach. And they have a longer history of it, though, in messing around with it. And now you're starting to see Shungite come out in all different kinds of forms. And people are saying that, oh, well, you know, you wear the medallion and it helps you out. And it may help you out because the C60 in there absorbs energy, like in electromagnetic stuff, but it's not going to do you anything.
It's not the same.
Not the same, no.
Yeah.
Just like taking it in water is not the same as taking it in oil, because it doesn't get taken up into the liver. And it may have been a happy accident or universe saying, we needed to know about this. Let's tell the Frenchmen to use oil and go to all that trouble as opposed to making them drink it. Because you wouldn't believe what they've got to go through to get this stuff to be in a suspension in oil.
So it's weird that they did it in oil in the first place.
Correct. Correct.
How interesting is that? You know, aging is so fascinating to me, because there isn't anything that we've invented, I think, that'll change the world more than that. I mean, it'll fundamentally change everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and just giving us the range to mature and be, you know, able to think about things longer, deeper, and longer is the issue, I think.
And letting kids be kids longer, letting scientists do their thing for longer.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just so many things. Yeah, we'll have other issues, which I have a whole chapter on the ethics of all that stuff. But, you know, maybe we're expanding to other planets and we're doing, you know, they're on the edge of that. I have an interview. I actually interviewed her already, the president of Tau Zero. They can't talk about some stuff.
Right, right. That's the thing is, I don't sign NDAs like with the cryptos. I've got a lot of guys saying, hey, I'll tell you all about this. I just want you to sign an NDA. And I say, no, because I'd have too much anxiety, because I'm sure I'll misspeak and blab it out.
She was
you don't want to tell me this stuff.
Once we got off air, she was much more relaxed, you know, but you can tell they have to kind of, but she admitted on air that they're working with zero point energy. And that there were, which probably because I explained the whole technology, I'm like, yeah, and it's patented by University of Colorado, and you know, MIT's looking into it. And she goes, she just said, yeah, we're working with zero point energy. And then she moved on.
Right.
But
right.
They admitted to it. Yeah.
And this is basically getting to the, like the blue chickens and their marketing group. We're seeing disclosure now in the form of the stuff that's being leaked out into our social order through the powers that be, through the special access projects that are providing all these machineries, the zero point energy, the, you know, instant DNA analysis. Like you see on TV that, you know, there's a crime and they take some blood sample or something and they come back, you know, 2 minutes later in the TV and they say it's been the next day and they've got DNA samples. And well, DNA tests take weeks. And even then they're mostly unreliable. And so, but now we're getting into genome splicing and reliability and stuff that is just phenomenal. And then we also have, you know, the idiots out there with the quantum computers that we've got to do something with. You know, we've got
to
figure out.
That's scary to me. There's something that
is.
Because you, and I would think that they would be watching that really closely. I don't know who they are.
No, these guys are academics. They're straight, you know, what I call follow the existing paradigm. Right. They don't look at any woo-woo, even though they're deep into the woo-woo business with the quantum computing.
They know they're
pushing something away so that they can, the quantum disturbance, they call it the quanta effect. They know that they're trying to push that away without ever really thinking what it is and what might happen as a side effect of that. And so they don't talk about it. There's no discussion about it in all of the documentation around them.
But that's what's happening in so much of our science. Right? So much of our food or just everything. We just run straight in. That's why the electric universe, understanding what we are and not bombarding ourselves with things that are killing us, that we actually understand it, you know,
and it makes sense. Yeah. Oh, well, if you're made of this, you don't want to be doing that stuff over there. You don't want to have these rays shooting at you, you know,
and maybe
digital watches and cell phones aren't a good idea.
And maybe it'll change our anxiety and maybe we'll be more peaceful, maybe harmonious. I mean, there's all sorts of other things. But
well, that's changing anyway, because of the energies, right?
Yeah, what
because
you're talking
the sun
about.
Is.
Yes.
Yep.
That's phenomenal. God,
and
I could
really
talk to you
like
all day
part.
Long. This is just great. Thank you. I like to talk to you like once a quarter, because so much happens that then when we're back together, we're like, okay.
Yeah, all this stuff. Yeah. Well, think of what Antarctica will yield next quarter then.
Oh, wow. Well, before we close this out, how can people get hold of your reports? I mean, they're just jacked with so much information. This one's all on cryptocurrencies, which people
I've been doing those because of this, okay? About 24 months ago, I discovered that something was going on the data. Over a period of time, I discovered it was these blue chicken people that were, because of the marketing effort, coming from an unexpected area. They were polluting certain linguistics, and I've had to undo those. So during the period of time that I've been working on undoing their impact on my lexicon, I've been producing only the crypto reports. And so I've had six crypto currency reports that give you that I've produced over these past few months that give you a good overview of the situation as to what they are, how they all work, and what their relationships are to each other, as well as some of my favorite picks. Bear in mind that I think there's now 1,600 cryptocurrencies out and about on the planet. And there's going to be tens of thousands this time next year because this is the funding source now. We're not going to be doing IPOs anymore. The stock market's going to wither just because we won't have new stuff coming into it. Why do an IPO and give 60% to the banks when you can do it on your own and keep that, right? And so there's a huge economic incentive to do just that. I'm going to be doing an ALTA report here at the end of the month. We ran into an issue and weren't able to move the way we'd anticipated. I bought a house. It was covered by an HOA. We ran into all kinds of problems, duplicitous real estate agents and this kind of thing, and ended up buying a piece of raw land and an old rental house next to it. We were going to rehab the rental house and live in there while we build a house on the raw land. But that means that I'll be able to, because that rehab is going to take 3 months, I'll be able to continue to produce reports through November, probably early part of November. And so there will be at least one more crypto report here for September, and then regular reports on October, and maybe one regular report for November. And then I'm also going to do the ALTA one here and another ALTA report between September and October crypto reports. That's the plan at the moment.
So your
and these
first
are all half past human.
So your first one past the blue chicken being out of there is going to be really fascinating. Because so much
is happening. And that's the end of this month, right? And see, the blue chicken guys were trying to, they're a marketing effort. They're a marketing campaign. It's a machine that was, I can screen out movies, I can screen out songs, I can screen out most of Hollywood, but it never dawned on me that to even think about screening out all of the New Age conference sphere or circle of information, because it was never organized. And so I wasn't expecting an organized effort to come out of that area.
An organized market. They identified a market because so many people are interested in on the internet, and then they took advantage of it and made crap up.
Correct. And they have, you know, their money goals, and they've got it all planned out. It's all structured and the whole thing. And it's, you know, if it had been organic and sprung on up, then my data sets would have been valid. But they were pumping certain language because it relates to their money flows. And so it caused problems within my data sets. And so as a result of that, I've had to retune. I think I'll end up having to retune about 16,000 words. When I have to go through each word, I have to change values in 60, potentially into 64 cells that are associated with that word. And I've got to make sure I get the values close to what they were before the blue chicken people intruded with their marketing effort.
Are they affecting you as much now that people are starting to expose?
No, I've been able to isolate. I was isolating them 100% from that point on and isolating out all of the New Age stuff 100% to get it out of there. So I don't have that issue. It means I have to throw more stuff away. But I just want to return it back to where we were because the accuracy rate then was much more accurate than it is now, excepting in cryptocurrencies. So my accuracy rate with the cryptocurrencies has been so high because it's a narrow niche and I was able to screen out all of the blue chicken stuff real easily and then go back to my regular routine with the regular lexicon because it didn't involve these, what I think maybe 16 or 17,000 words. I think I'm up to like 3,800 words I've purged of the blue chicken stuff. So, yeah, I know. They're a bunch of goofy guys, you know.
Well, and I just don't like people making stuff up. And then a lot of people are taking it seriously. And, you know, it is what it is.
Well, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. I look with the night vision goggles. I see the secret space program up there flying around. So if you've got those night vision goggles and you see those things, it's like Antarctica. At some point, you expect one of those spaceship pilots to come on down and start blabbing. You know, I mean, you would expect that to naturally occur because we see the, I mean, I say we, I mean, everybody with the night vision goggles, you can see the triangular floaty things. You can see the big ships and all of this. So, you know, and they've been getting very active up there, and there's a lot more of them now than there were 2 years ago.
I got to get some of those night goggle stuff.
Yeah, you want the PCV7s. Third generation.
Okay.
They're about $2,500 on eBay, something like that. And they're decent and they work. If you need to do all the optics will always have flaws in them. You need hand-picked optics if you're going to do these and expect to put video out that's decent. Now they may run you about $6,000. But once you've got those things, it's like the world does not look the same.
Oh, wow.
There's stuff out there going on. And it can freak you out if you, you know, and then you wonder, okay, what's going on? And then you hear somebody that says, well, hey, I used to fly one of those.
Oh.
And it's sort of easy to believe, you know, it's sort of easy to fall in line.
Yeah.
And then you say, well, no, wait a second. You know, this guy can't tell you what he used for money to buy toothpaste or what brand of toothpaste he used on that ship. And, you know, he couldn't tell you any of the details that would give you any kind of an understanding of what he was going through or in the nature of the ship at all. Exactly. So they're just piggybacking on the existence of the secret space program being visible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so fascinating. Well, thank you so much. You're so much fun to talk to.
Well, thanks much. I've got to go and do some real work here and get something for my throat. But yeah, it's been quite fun. But, you know, everybody needs to be cautious. If you're going into that C60 stuff, you need to be really adult about it because, you know, there are those issues.
Yeah.
But it's sort of self-correcting.
Well, I would definitely want to look at it. So thank you so much, and have a great week.
Yeah,